What about 17? Didn't affect any outcome, but it seemed like there was a lot of discussion about it for a while.
I hit the ball over the green, and it went into a hazard, and there wasn't much. There wasn't much room between the cart path and the hazard, but I had to take relief or take my two club length chop in that small area. And I took relief, got my drop. The hazard was thick tree line, and when I was taking practice swings, I was hitting the tree line trying to figure out how much of a swing I had. And a couple leaves fell when I was taking practice swings, and I just wanted to verify that as long as I wasn't addressed to the ball and improving my lie, it was more of just a club path about inside my line. And I wasn't thinking about it at the time, I was just thinking about the shot. And then once I did it, I kind of realized I had to make sure that I was okay. I talked to Trey, he was standing right there, he was the one who helped me drop, and he said that it was okay as long as it wasn't on the intended cart path or the intended club path that I was doing it. And it was just a few leaves, but it's
a lot of talk about nothing, because you had a big lead anyway.
Yeah, fortunately, yes. Correct. Yeah, according from what I understand, also the rules official in here said that as long as it isn't like a decent sized portion of the tree or bush or whatever, it's okay. So it was only like a couple, two or three leaves fell, and it was a thick bush. It didn't really do anything to change what the shot was, and so that was a big part of it too. So it was those two things that made the difference.
By that point, you're right. 5 or 6, I can't remember now. I mean, as you came in over here, I mean, did you see the momentum coming into the day? And then obviously you got it right away.
There were some nerves on the first tee. I was just trying to get off to a good start, take advantage of the first hole. It being changed into a par 5 was a big deal. And I got up there, had a good yardage, and I just figured I could go right at it and hit the shot well. Had a straight up the hill 6-footer to start off the day. And once I did that, I was just kind of like, okay, that's a good start. So I can calm down now. I know that I can do it. But it was definitely nerve wracking. I mean, it was the first time I was ever leading a professional event, like an overnight lead. So
what was the shot in? What was the shot in?
144 yards.
What'd you hit in?
Pitching wedge.
Pitching wedge from 144 to 6 feet, make it for eagle and
yes,
you're up and run.
You played here on this course yesterday?
Yes.
So did it help being here 2 days in a row? I mean, sometimes they skip the day here and then you come back. And
When I first originally found out about, 3 weeks ago that I was going to be able to have back-to-back rounds here, I knew that that was a little bit of an advantage. I thought that getting consecutive looks at this golf course is a good thing. The conditions will stay similar and you'll kind of know. You can get into a little bit of a groove playing the same course. They're definitely different venues. They're both amazing golf courses, but they're definitely different style of venues. So that, it does make a difference.
Being able to stay committed, focused to golf. Obviously, it's been an emotional few months for you and your family.
Yeah. It's been really difficult. We've been helping each other out, just staying close with each other. But he was a strong encourager of everybody, and so I knew that if it was up to him, he would definitely have me continue to be playing. And so I just kind of try to focus on that and, think about the positives. I mean, we had a lot of great memories, me and my middle brother, and it was, I wish more than anything I could have him back, but at the same time, we went out, he went out on good terms, and I know that he's up in heaven in a better place right now.
Looking down at you today, being that imaginary extra club in your back.
Oh, absolutely. I call him, my dad says, his name was Chad. My dad says Chaddy the Caddy in all my college events and stuff like that when I don't have a caddy. But my older brother being able to caddy for me in this event was a big deal, too.
What's the older brother's name?
His name's Jay.
Jay, is he older, younger?
He's older. He's 34. So he lives down in South Carolina, and then Chad went down there to go to college down there and live with him. And it's good to have him on the bag, knowing that he's going through the same thing I'm going through, missing him, and it's the two of us now. So it was definitely advantageous to have him too. He doesn't get to come up here very often because of work, so it was nice.
You're at NC State.
Yes, sir.
And you got another year to play there, is that?
Yes, sir. Yep, I have one more year of eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
So starts up in the fall and.
To be back in this and playing for the paycheck
along with it. Yeah, I there's a big part of me that wishes I was a professional right now, but I'm excited for the year ahead. I think that this was a big motivator for me, and it kind of made me realize that I can compete with pros, and that's the journey I want to take, is knowing that this kind of helps me know that I'm headed down the right path, putting my efforts into this. No, I was not.
And you haven't played in this before, have you?
I played in 2012 and 2013.
Oh, so
I did not play last year.
Club?
Correct.
Yeah.
What did you do in those?
I played well the first 2 days both years, and I was in the second to last group going into the last day for both of those years. Mm-hmm. But didn't have good final rounds. It kind of got to me a little bit, and drawn from that, and drawn from college golf, and being able to pull from some experience of winning and stuff like that made a big difference today. Just knowing that, you know, it's not going to do you any good to start thinking ahead. You just got to focus on what's going on right now.
Drive on 18 was like 6 miles. Was a little red ass on you there after.
I mean, I hit a good one. I was aiming at that bunker, and like the right side of that bunker, and I hit it, and I knew it came off pretty solid, and then I saw it kind of running. It kind of hit it down a little bit of a down slope, and it got out there. So I was, you know, that was a good thing. I was just wanting one more driver swing, and that's all I needed. So it was good to end on a good note.
Well, Vince did tell us he was glad you were still an amateur too.
Yeah, he said that.
He likes that improvement on his team.
Yeah, Vince is a cool guy. He was a lot of fun to play with. He was really easy to get along with. We were talking about him on how his web.com year's going and stuff like that, his events. So I actually played with him a couple years ago. We were talking about that. We were in the second to last group at this tournament before. So we've known each other. We don't know each other very well, but he's a really friendly guy. So it was nice to be able to play with him and play with a familiar face.
And we understand you're from Lyle.
Yeah, I grew up in Bolingbrook. I went to Bolingbrook High School, and then we actually moved about 6-7 months ago. We moved to Lyle, which is only about 10 or 15 minutes.
So did you grow up playing Bolingbrook Golf Course?
Yes, actually, I worked there for 3 years in high school, so I was, you know, playing there and practicing there.
All right.
I mean, I would have to shoot 11-under to win. I think that would be the number. But, yeah, David played great. He didn't do a whole lot wrong.
We're going to grab photos on that.
But I certainly played fine. I didn't get in trouble all day. And, shoot, I shot 5-under. So what are you going to do?
Well, what happens when you've been bouncing back and forth? I was talking to your dad a little bit. I knew you were doing a lot on the web.com lately, right?
Good
vibe right now.
Yeah, I started out my year in Latino America. Because my status wasn't good enough to get into web.com events, so I played 6 events out there, and then finally got a start in Cleveland about a month and a half ago and finished 24th, and then I've been playing ever since. So I've 4 out of 5 cuts, a couple of top 25s, and I think it'll be good for the rest of the year. So got to go make some money now to finish in the top 75.
Well, you get a little more money here, right, because the guy who won's an amateur?
I know. See, that's what I was saying. I was like, well, if David beats me, it's not going to be terrible because I still get first-place check. But, you know, it's still the tournament that's kind of eluded me, and maybe one day I'll get it. But, yeah, like I said, he played great, and he certainly deserved to win today.
When you teed off today, you knew that there was a low-score possible. We had the
16th. Oh, absolutely.
Another guy was going crazy
today, and there's no wind, and I didn't know what the greens would be, but they were pretty mushy, so you could hit a lot of approach shots quite close.
Why was there such a discrepancy between the two courses and scores?
Well, Hawthorne Woods is quite a bit longer. It's probably close to 7,100 yards long. There's a lot of good par fours out there. The par threes are tough. The last 2 days it was windy, and there's nothing to really protect it out there. So you're out there, and it feels like it's blowing a lot harder than it is. That being said, longer, windier, and faster, harder greens makes it a little bit tougher.
How's the new format work for you? Obviously, now you got a lot more guys to beat, and you got to do it over more than one golf course.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've never done something like this before, but as long as they allow more people to play, I'm sure everyone loves it, and I'm okay with it. You know, two good golf courses.
Did you ever play as an amateur, in any of the amateur-type tournaments where there's, you know, stroke play the first couple of days, big fields, and then you have to switch format?
Yeah, the CDG Amateur I played a couple of years, and then, you know, U.S. Amateur, stuff like that. So I played that 2 years as well. So, yeah, kind of similar feel to it.
What's the kind of deal? What if you make the tour? Would you be coming back to this? Would you be able to?
The big tour?
Yeah.
Probably not, no. I was only lucky to do it this year because we have a week off on the web.com. But on the big tour, I don't think we get a week off.
And
I caught a red eye back on Sunday after finishing like 26th and like one shot out of a top 25 or a top 20 for that matter, and teed up the next day at 2:00 here. So been playing lots of golf lately.
Well, what did you have to do on the Latino tour to get back on the web.com? Did you have
the top 10 at the end of the year earn web.com status? Or some form of web.com. The top 5 are guaranteed events the following year, but 6 through 10 earn exemptions in the final stage of Q school.
So that was the end of their season?
No, this is only the first half. So we have
high enough to.
Right. Yeah. We have 10 more tournaments in the fall between September and December.
But you'll be playing the web.com.
Yeah, but then again, we end the last week of August. So.
Oh. Yeah. Had some tournaments called.
Yeah. So we have five more events there, and hopefully I play well enough. I make, you know, I need a couple top fives, and so I won't have to go back to Q school and go out to Latino America anymore.
Does the web.com schedule pretty much stay intact next year? I mean, the PGA Tour is flip-flopping all over the place because of the Olympics. I mean, the PGA moves up to July. I mean, there's a whole bunch of movement going around. Is there any kind of movement on web.com that it might afford you a gap to come back here? Or?
I think for the most part, it stays pretty similar. I know last year we ended our year with 14 straight events, and they did a better job of giving us a week off, like this week, so everyone can kind of gear up for the last push toward the end of the year.